Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, you are listening to our weekly edition of Neil Golden, and he is a stock chart reader, and he does it so well, and he explains it to us so well. And anything financial, anything that involves the economy or Wall Street, we go to Neil, and we ask him what he thinks, and he always, without fail, gives us a very understandable answer on it. Neil, how are you?
Very good, Frank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And you usually start me off with a disclaimer, and I don't think today is any different.
Yeah. As you know, investing in stocks, it's an art. It's not a science. Just because something has gone up in the past doesn't mean it'll go up in the future under the same circumstances. What you should realize is that when you're investing, you're also investing in a certain amount of risk, and so because of that, you should never invest with money you can't afford to lose.
Well, well said, as always, and very important to remember that. But let me ask you, we keep talking, I guess, ever since January 20th, and we've had a new president. We're talking about the Trump effect on the market, and of course, politics affects the market very much so. And at this point, they're talking quite a bit about health care, and not only President Trump, but the Democrats and Republicans are battling over taking out Obamacare and putting in, you know, Obamacare Lite, or maybe just abolishing. Who knows where we're going to end up? But what does this do for the market? What's your thoughts on health care and how it affects the market?
To me, Obamacare was written by the insurance companies that were going to take on new clients, and it was going to be mandatory that everybody sign up or be enrolled with an insurance company for their medical costs in the future. And now that there's been an executive order to say that not everybody has to enroll, you know, Obamacare, you know, in some ways is destined to fail. And I think in some ways, this is what, you know, Republicans would like to do. But the thing that upsets me, you know, I'm all in favor for lower health costs and lower prescription costs as far as drugs go for medical reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's only logical. You know, if you can cut the cost of what you have to pay at a hospital, and you can get the medication you need at a very cheap price, so be it. it's a better program. But I think in some ways it's getting very childish. You know, if Trump wants to get rid of Obamacare, well, why don't we just call the new program Trump Care?
Right.
You know, so yeah. To me, you know, that's the way I look at it, you know.
Well, I think it's hard to argue with you. It seems like it's more about semantics. It's more about, look, we said we're going to get rid of everything that this last president that we didn't like, you know, from the Republicans, and we didn't like Obama, so we're going to rip down everything he does. And of course, the first thing to go is the Obamacare. It's got his name on it and everything else. You're right. I mean, it does seem like it's getting catty almost, you know, where people are forgetting what's at stake here, and they just simply want to take it down because the other guy had it in and had put it through. In general, does the stock market react to this type of thing any differently than it would any other presidential maneuvers? This is healthcare, by the way. I mean, it's some pretty serious stuff that a lot of people care about. And did it react the first time when Obama talked about, you know, putting in universal health care? Is this the type of thing that you can expect the market to react one way or the other about?
Well, to me, it's like the way of big business. At this point, either you're large and you survive, but if you're small, you'll be wiped out. And some of the major healthcare suppliers, you know, like Blue Cross, we have Kaiser, and then you have some of the other larger names. They're either going to get larger or they're going to get smaller. And as you know, young people don't have, you know, health problems. You know, everybody just about lives to the age of 21. But when you get, you know, I've never talked to hardly anyone that's 60 years old now that hasn't been in the hospital.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. So quite naturally, older people need health care a lot more than the younger people do. And the only thing I've heard on TV is that if you're rich at this point, you're going to get some more tax breaks under the new program. So whereas the poor will end up having to pay a lot of money and having no write-offs. So I don't know if this is good or bad in the long term, or people will be uninsured again.
Yeah.
But as far as the healthcare companies making money, at this point, it's really up in the air, and it doesn't seem to be a profitable solution or for them to be involved in this particular field.
Well, if you're just tuning in, once again, Neil Golden is our very special guest, and each and every week we hear from Neil on the financial markets. He's a Stock Trot reader, Frank McKay here with Neil Golden, and we talk about everything financial and how it plays in the market and everything, how everything, you know, basically plays around the economics of our country and stock market as well. And, you know, you mentioned the idea that that different folks will benefit, and you know the rich are going to get some tax cuts, and then we don't know what's going to happen to the poor. Is this the case where we almost have to wait before we judge what happened here, because it's so complicated and there's so much noise out there? You have all the anti-Trump people, and then you have all the Kool-Aid drinking we love Trump people out there, and you know basically everyone's chiming in at the same time, and the news media, they're always looking for the sensationalistic approach, and then you know, of course President Trump will, you know, say he got wiretapped or whatever. Is it a situation in front of us where we're going to have to wait some time before we really realize what happens here, or are there signs that that we know exactly what's happening?
I think some people are able to see through it. In a sense, you know, if you're a diehard Republican or a diehard Democrat, you know, of course, when you're older, you just, you know, tend to care about your health more than when you're younger. And in that sense, you're very concerned. And it's just the way that society in general it's programmed, I feel. You know, what do we do with our old people? I know when I was young, nobody told me, you know, that I'd live to be the age I am now. But they didn't tell me, you know, all the aches and pains that would come along with it.
Yeah, right.
So it's catching a large portion of the population that is old and too old to work, and there's nobody around to take care of them. So, and in that sense, what do we do? You know, do we put them out the pasture, or do we allow them to do euthanasia, or
right.
or what? You know, so that's the problem. I think society is going to have to vote on in the future, and I see it coming.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's hard to disagree that that we're going to have new problems because of the age of our society, and we're living longer. Fortunately, we're living longer, and hopefully we could figure out a way, maybe with some governmental help and some help from the medical community, to figure out how to live longer, happier, healthier, not just longer. It's that's a whole subject for another time. Frank McKay here. More importantly, Neil Golden, Stock Chart Reader. And speaking of that, Neil, let's talk about some charts. And, you know, so few of us really understand how to read them. I look at a stock chart and I'm wondering which way do you turn it? Do you turn it upside down? Do you turn it to the side? This is something that you do on a daily basis. You're constantly reading these charts. Let's talk a little bit about charts and what you're looking at right now.
Well, to me, you know, the market, it's reached a new all-time high. So for the Dow Jones industrials are at an all-time high historically, and it's like something like 20,800 and something around in that area. And what is happening because of the global economy and United States economy, you know, in the past, a 10% decline in the market was not very noticeable. But now, if we have like a 10% decline, that would be like 2,000 points. And that's a very wild swing to be on. And that could add up to billions or even, you know, a couple of trillion dollars worth of net worth. And for someone to be experiencing this, it can be heartbreaking, especially if you're trying to get started, you know, and you have all your eggs in one basket. So hey, I think this is going to be the outlook for the future, you know, more volatility in the market, mainly because it's at such a high point. But right now I'd have to say that the market is going sideways. A lot of it has to do with Washington, D.C., and the feeling that nothing is really being accomplished there, as was promised, you know, about draining the swamp and getting things done.
Yeah, right. I think people are saying, well, define the swamp or define draining it. You know, what exactly are we looking for here? And you know, a lot of people will argue, well, you got what you asked for, right? And a lot of people you voted for him, and here you go. So I think there's a situation, and there's a conflict among people, and there's a wait and see type attitude going on. But at the same time, you have all of this negativity going on. What about the different type of charts? You've mentioned off mic. Did you say Murphy chart? Was that one?
The Murphy chart?
Yeah.
No. And when it comes to reading charts, there's three kinds of charts you can look at. I use bar charts, and those are charts for everyday use. In a sense, they're just a little stick showing the daily high, the daily low, the open for the day, and the close for the day. They denote those four things. Another commonly type of chart that is used would be the Japanese candlestick chart. They were trying to say that these charts were developed in Japan many, many centuries ago when it came to buying and selling of rice, and then they just applied them to their stock market, and they seem to be very effective, but they're very old. In some ways they are better than bar charts, in some ways they're not as good. And then there's a third type of chart that's very popular out there, and it's called a point and figure chart, and that uses X's and O's. And what I know about these charts is that, surprisingly enough, they were saying, like Charles Dow at the beginning of the 1900s was using these type of charts to chart the stocks and indexes that he wanted to follow. No. So these are the basic three types of charts. You know,
now, do the three types of charts when examining the same situation? Do they usually show similar information, or is there a disparity between the charts and the information that you're getting?
Not at all. The key point of charts is to show high points and reversals and things that are likely to happen. The market goes up, sometimes it pauses, but there's the yin and the yang of the market. You know, it goes up, and then it comes back down, and then it goes up, and it comes back down. So the thing about the charts, what they do denote is if there's a rapid upward movement, that is usually followed by a slight downward movement. In a sense that, like, if the Dow Jones Industrials moves up, you know, 300 points or maybe 400 points in one day, well, it's a pretty sure bet that the next day it's going to be a down day. But there's also other things on the way up. They have what they call inside days and outside days, which I'm not really going to get in to explain what these terms mean. But they either denote further advancements or further declines about to take place in the chart. So these charts are very crucial into making money and telling you when to buy and when to sell.
Neil Golden, once again, is the voice that you're hearing. Frank McKay here with our weekly edition of Neil Golden and the financial markets, the stock markets, and of course, stock chart reading. Neil, stock charts, it's worth noting that anyone who is engaging in any kind of day trading should understand and start educating themselves as well as they can on anything. Tell us about day trading, and for folks who have no idea what day trading is, just give us a quick rundown if you don't mind.
Day trading basically it's a one day thing. You're at the looking at the screen when the market opens, and you're looking at the screen all day long, and you're looking at the market when it closes. In general, from what I read about it, I've never wanted to be a day trader, but the thing is, I really didn't understand charting until I got into day trading, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah,
in a sense,
no
doubt. It's something that's really worth knowing how to do, but do I do it? No, because as far as the element of time and everything, to me, I'd consider it to be very risky. We have some famous long-term traders, but you don't have any famous day traders out there that are worth, as far as I know, billions of dollars. So, in a sense, it's not... for me, it wouldn't be something I would be interested. I more or less consider myself to be something called a swing trader, which would be intermediate, in a sense, or short term, which goes from, 3 to 4 days, and then I'd be out and moving on.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, as far as day trading goes, I would think with the market at a sky high level, an all time high, that people start thinking, hey, this looks pretty easy. And of course, if you go back to your disclaimer, right, and you talk about how difficult it is, people get in thinking something looks so simple, and they start throwing around money maybe they don't have. Do you think these times when the market is so high invite more day trading and more people that really aren't educated enough in this field to start taking chances with it, or is it the same throughout throughout time, regardless of where the market is?
Well, the thing about the charting, like I said, it tells you when to buy and when to sell, but the important thing is it also tells you when the conditions of trading are changing. And this is one of the problems in the past. People in times of growth, it's very easy to make money in the sense that you can just throw a dart you know, yeah. a list of stocks, and you won't lose if you buy that stock because everything is going up. And the market in general moves in unison or as a group or as a whole. But as far as market moving sideways, not unless you're using more sophisticated trading techniques, there's not a lot of money there, but you can make money in these points, you know, if you know the high point and the low point, and just go for short-term profits with day trading. But the thing that I learned is when I sent off for my mentor, you know, he sent me this whole package, and the first thing that popped out of it was a sheet that said, when you're trading, if you look at the longer term, like a monthly chart versus a daily chart, the monthly chart will be much better to trade on than a daily chart or an intraday chart, because it's more long term, which means if the stock is going up on a monthly basis, well, it's more likely for it to be trending than if it's just going on up for a few days and then reverses. So in that sense, that's the first thing. But in looking at charts, you have monthly charts, you have weekly charts, you have the daily charts, and you have the intraday charts. And the thing is, you have to learn how to put them all, these different time frames, together to make sense out of them.
Well, I leave that to you, stock chart reader Neil Golden, who is very good at breaking this down, and he does it every week for us. Frank McKay here with the stock chart reader Neil Golden, and we every week we talk about the markets. We talk about how the rest of the world affects the markets. Neil, we're just about out of time. Anything you want to leave us with?
Yeah, just one more thought. In general, when I trade, I try to stay out of, quote, shorting the market. But if you wanted an idea on how to do it, you turn your computer on and you would look at the NASDAQ, the Dow Jones Industrials, the S&P, and then the Russell 2000. You'd look at these four indexes, and if they're all going in a negative direction at an early point in the day, chances are they will continue for the rest of the day. And if all four of them are in agreement, then maybe you would short for a day or two. But in general, shorting the market is very dangerous because it can reverse itself in a short period of time and start going up again. And ever since, you know, World War II, the market for the most part has been going up.
Yeah, very interesting. It's dangerous. It's almost like trying to outsmart it when you're shorting the market. You know, you're trying to outsmart it, and so many people get hurt by that. Neil Golden, I want to thank you once again. Again, each and every week, you could hear Neil Golden right here, Frank McKay with the Stock Chart Reader. Neil, thank you very much for being here.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk to you again.
Neil Golden, everyone, has been our very special guest. We invite you each and every week to listen to Neil Golden, and we also invite you to binge listen to what he has to say. You're going to learn more from this man than anyone else I can imagine, and he breaks it down in such an intelligent way and an understandable way. Always appreciate his input into this show. Frank McKay signing off. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down.